Welcome, everybody, to Basic Gospel. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and we've opened the phone lines for you at 1-800-677-9377. Again, that's 1-800-677-9377, toll-free across the U.S. and Canada. And we invite you to call or keep listening to learn how the basic gospel intersects with your life every day. If you have a Bible question, including questions on the book of Revelation, or if you have a personal issue you'd like to discuss, call right now. 1-800-677-9377. The Word of God can help you experience true life and freedom in Jesus Christ. That, of course, is basic gospel. Hear it, believe it, live it. This is day 10 of our focus on the book of Revelation, and guys, wow, it's really getting exciting at this point. Here's Bob Christopher to carry on.
Well, thanks, Bob. We are jumping into Revelation chapter 9 today. We ended chapter 8 last Friday with these, I think, horrific words that come from the mouth of a flying eagle, and it was a message directed to those who belong to this world. So it's a message directed to the lost, not to those who are saved. And he says, terror, terror, terror to all who belong to this world because of what will happen when the last three angels blow their trumpet. So chapter 9, we get trumpet 5 and trumpet 6. And it is quite frightening, isn't it, Richard?
Yeah, it is, because I love to refer to the stuff that starts here as, you know, having the beasties revealed. Because you get all these fantastical images in your head based on the words of strange animals or things you might recognize but are acting differently than you've ever imagined in your life. And what we tend to do is to get all wrapped up in those symbolic things. Even if they're literal things, we still get wrapped up in them, and we miss the point. The point here, especially in these two trumpets, is that God is in charge. Satan is the one who wants to destroy everything. And in the fifth trumpet, he is explicitly forbidden from destroying people, especially God's people. What a terribly frustrating thing for him. What a wonderfully blessed thing for a child of God. If you are sealed with the Holy Spirit, this is not going to touch you. There'll be all kinds of stuff happening around you, perhaps, but it's not going to touch you. And then it ends, you know, when you get down past the sixth trumpet, and we get down there to that statement, you know, God wants people to respond to him, and they will not. In spite of everything that he's doing, good and bad, in terms of judgments and offers, they will not respond.
Yeah, they will not respond at all. A couple of things, you know, as we've been working our way through this just wonderful, wonderful book, we've seen this stream of assurance flowing through it from start to finish. And God knows how we operate. He knows how we think. He knows the emotions that we experience. And we read one thing about judgment, we're going, oh no, yeah. Oh no, is that directed toward me? Am I gonna be a part of that? And you know, that's why so many people go to the book of Revelation with this question in mind, is the church going to go through the tribulation? And what they're really asking, am I going to go through the tribulation? Because I don't want all that stuff to happen to me. And so we get scared thinking that it might. But God knows that about us, and so he gives us the assurance that we need. And right here in the middle of this chapter, we see as you pointed out, that they were no harm was to come to those who had the seal of God on their foreheads. We've been marked out by God. We have been given the Holy Spirit as the seal guaranteeing our future. The Holy Spirit is the deposit guaranteeing what is to come for us, and that is life everlasting. And so we get some information about us who believe, that we will be protected from this. We also get some insight into those who are lost. You know, we just think of them as neutral sometimes, but here at the end, we're going to see what's really true about them, and it's quite amazing. It says they refuse to repent of their evil deeds and turn to God, so we know that about them. But listen to this. They continue to worship demons. What do they worship? They worship demons. demons, you know, masquerading as some of the things of this world. But when that cloak is removed, they're going to see that their real worship was of demons, of Satan himself, and they're going to be glad of it. This isn't something that they're doing against their will. This is something that they are deliberately choosing to worship Satan and his band of demons. And they exercise that worship by building idols made of gold, silver, bronze, stone, and wood, none of which have any power whatsoever. You can build a gold statue, just the most beautiful thing in the world, and you can place it on a desk, and it will remain there until you, a mere human, go pick it up and take it someplace else. It doesn't have the power to move from point A to point B, but yet those who are lost in their foolishness worship something that's powerless altogether. And their hearts are inclined towards Satan and the demonic world. That's what's going to be revealed, the nature of their hearts. And our hearts were like that before we came to know Christ. And when we came to know Christ, God changed us from the inside out, made us in such a way, recreated us in such a way that our hearts now lean toward God, and our worship is of Him and Him alone. That's the great divide in humanity, those who worship Satan and those who worship God. And those who worship Satan do so because they want to. That is, to me, one of the most sobering, alarming statements that you see in the Word of God. They continued to worship demons. Oh, my.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, this is Basic Gospel, everybody, and we'd love for you to join the conversation at 1-800-677-9377, toll-free across the U.S. and in Canada, 1-800-677-9377. If you have a question, perhaps some other issue you'd like to talk about, well, this is a good opportunity. The lines are wide open at 1-800-677-9377.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go and talk to our good friend Gil, listening to us in Queens today. Hi, Gil.
Hey, Gil.
Hey, my loving sheep. God bless you. I just wanted to, and hi to Bob Davis. Boy, you bring back such memories when I hear Bob Davis speaking too, and Bob Christopher and Richard. God bless you guys.
Well, thank you.
I want to share an experience I had years ago. I just want to share Revelation, you know, talking about it, Revelation 3:20. It says, "Here I am, I stand at the door and knock." Then it says, "If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me." And just show you how God protects me. I used to like ride the subways, and I still want to do that in the future, you know, the trains, and evangelize and share with people. And sometimes people will help me to seats and stuff like that. And I met one gentleman that I shared this verse, John 3:16, where Christ says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." Now that I look back, I was just wishing I would have shared Revelation 3:20 and 21 with him, and Romans 10:13 and 10:9, and he admitted to me that he had a gun in his hand, but he was very nice to me, though, and his heart was softened when I shared with him, and I didn't ask for any money, but he gave me like $20 or $30 or more or something just so that I can eat, and I was like, you know, I don't really need this, but I just kept sharing with him, and I had a little bit of fear, you know, because I don't want to come back home, you know, anything strange happening, and I just wonder if I didn't share the whole gospel with him, is it possible that God would use other people in his life besides me? Like 1 Corinthians 3:6 says that I planted, Apollos planted, but the Lord made it grow. So I'm just worried because I really enjoyed that meeting I had with him, and I didn't feel scared afterwards. As soon as I started sharing the gospel with him, I felt comfortable and I felt very brave and I felt loved by him. And I just thought of 2 Timothy 3:7 or 1:7, you know, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind." And you guys know that I'm blind, too, you know.
Right, right. Well, Gil, as far as, you know, what you said, you said what you said at that particular time, and you offered up scripture, you offered up the good news. You know, there's not a more telling verse about the love of God than John 3:16.
I believe.
So once you give somebody the word and you do so in a loving and kind way, you leave the results of that in God's hands. And as you said, sometimes you plant a seed, sometimes you God uses you to water a seed. But in all of that, the same, it's God that's going to make it grow. It's God that's going to give it life. It's God that's going to bring it forth and produce fruit through it. That's God's role. We really can't enter into that. We can simply participate by making ourselves available. God used me to plant a seed. God used me to water. Whatever you choose, I want to be involved in your work to bring people to Jesus Christ. Yes. And once you're involved in that, once you kind of carry out your role in a given circumstance, you leave the result of that in God's hands. We've had folks that have called in and said, you know, somebody gave me a copy of a book, and I just let it sit there on my nightstand for years and years and years and years. And finally, 10 years after the fact, I picked it up, read it, and my life has changed. I've come to know Jesus personally, and I've experienced his forgiveness, and I know that I'm a child of God forever. Well, the person who gave them that book isn't going to hear that story, but God used them in a very, very significant way that brought forth fruit many years later. So the same thing is probably going to happen there, Gil. I can't guarantee that or know for sure. But you offered the word. You directed a person to, like I said, the most telling verse in all of Scripture concerning God's plan of salvation and God's great love for mankind. And so you just do so and leave that those results in God's hands.
Well, being blind is a tremendous cross to carry, but I still thank God that he made me blind, that I would meet this gentleman. I think another verse I shared with him was Matthew 1:21, where it says, "She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." That's like one of my favorite verses years ago when I started memorizing the Bible. And it's wonderful to know that I could still pray for him, but I just, you know, wish I could see him again. You know, it was on a Saturday. I was taking the train, and I didn't know I was going to, you know, he sounded kind of scary when I met him, you know, but when he got to know me and I shared with him, it seemed like he had such compassion for me because of the blindness, and because of that, he was able to hear the Bible. I don't know if he would have listened to a person who can see, you know what I mean? Sometimes God uses the foolish things of the world to shame the wise, as Paul says, I believe, in 1 Corinthians 1:27, if I have that right.
Well, you're right, and Gil, also, I think oftentimes God just prepares the way and protects in his spirit.
I was a little scared, I got to admit.
God's spirit does things that sometimes we just don't know about, but we see the results of it. And like I said, somebody that may have had a gun and may have had evil intentions towards you.
No, not towards me. Yeah. He was just letting me know that. Yeah.
Yeah. But he could have. I mean, he could have, until maybe the Spirit's work through that whole situation kind of changed what he was thinking. And where
he gave me money. He said, "This is for you. I care for you," or something. "And I want you to buy food, whatever you need. You know, this is for you." He gave it to me like as a gift. And he just sat and talked with me. Yeah. All the way when I was going to Manhattan, from, you know, Queens to Manhattan. And I never forget that. You know, while I'm talking to you and I'm just thinking of hugging you guys, I'm picturing myself that it's so nice to know that I can still pray for him. And I thank God for the gift of prayer.
Yes, indeed.
I'm just thinking of that right now as I'm speaking to you.
Yeah. Well, keep praying for that guy, and maybe at some point he will find you, you will find him, and you can hear what God's done in his life.
Amen.
Well, Gil, thanks for your call today. Always love hearing from you,
my friend. And love hearing from you guys, too. Happy Sheep Day.
You too.
Thanks,
Gil.
Yes, indeed. Plenty of open lines if you want to be a part of this edition of Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, 1-800-677-9377.
Well, thanks, Bob. Before we go to our next caller, and Ronnie, just hang on for a few seconds, I wanted to make mention to our listeners, we certainly need your financial support at this particular time. We're entering into the last quarter of the year. We need a really big last quarter to make up the deficit from the early months. and to put us on solid foundation as we enter 2014. We think 2014 is just going to be a power-packed year for Basic Gospel, but we need the financial support to get us through 2013.
Yeah, to make it there.
That's right. So we're asking for our listeners to join with us to contribute to God's work through this ministry. We need your support, and we need it now. Maybe you've never given to Basic Gospel. Would you let today be the day? A gift of $10, a gift of $100, a gift of $1,000. Whatever you have, please give. Please give cheerfully. Please give joyfully, knowing that your dollars are an investment in the gospel of Jesus Christ, the sheer power of the gospel to change lives. Yeah. People need to hear this simple, powerful, life-changing truth. So join with us in an exchange for we want to send you a thank you gift, and it's Richard's booklet, Our Guaranteed Future. Mm-hmm. Plus, for a gift of $50 or more, we'll send his CD series as well on the Book of Revelation. It will give you the assurance that you need. It will prepare your hearts, and it will make you, empower you to look forward to your future with hope and with excitement and with anticipation.
Absolutely. You can do so either way, by phone or online. 1-800-727-2828 to speak with our operator. Again, 1-800-727-2828, or you'll find a prominent link at our homepage, basicgospel.net.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to Pittsburgh, PA, and talk to Ronnie, listening to us on WWNL. Hi, Ronnie.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. Nice to hear from you today.
Oh, I listen to you every day at lunch, and I really enjoy your program. And I have kind of a strange question, possibly, but I have asked and read and searched, and nobody's been able to give me an answer, so I'm hoping maybe you can. I'm a real lover of all creatures, great and small, and I just wonder, I know that the scriptures say that the lion will lay down with the lamb and the children shall play by the viper's nest, but what about the pets we love so much here on earth? Where are they going to be?
Well, Ronnie, there's nothing in the Word of God that says, you know, once an animal dies here that they will be in heaven or be in the new world order. Or anything like that. There's no information given on that. I know we love our pets. We love them as family. I have three of them. And, you know, they just become a part of your lives. And, you know, they're great personalities and just their life and all of that. You just get taken by them. They touch your heart. And certainly there's sadness when they die. There's great sadness, and just because of the love that you have for them, and you wonder, will they be in heaven? But Scripture really doesn't answer that question. What it does say is that this new world order, animals are going to be a part of it. You know, everything that God created in those 6 days will be part of the new creation. You know, all of that was subjected to sin and death, but all of that is going to be restored. So we know there's going to be animals. Scripture just doesn't tell us that it will be the animals that we had here on planet Earth. Does that make sense to you, Ron?
It is refreshing. Yeah, you know, I do, and, you know, I know that it says that there will be no tears or sorrows, so, you know, we're going to be too busy just loving up Jesus to really be concerned with our pets here on earth. But I guess that's the human part of me just kind of wondering, you know, the end times, you know, reading Revelation with you and studying it on my own, just kind of curious about those critters that we leave behind.
Yeah, well, we all are. I mean, we really all are. Like I said, you know, we love our pets. We love them dearly. They just become a part of our lives. But you know, God didn't send Jesus to save animals. He sent Jesus to save us. And I think when we go to be with the Lord, when we're in His presence, when we, you know, take up our dwelling place with Him, you know, all that He has for us, we're going to love. And I'm sure I know animals are going to be a part of that. So,
I'll just keep holding on to that hope.
Yeah. Okay, Ronnie. Well, thanks for your call, and thanks for being
so
a part of the daily broadcast. We really are encouraged by that and glad that you've allowed us to be a part of your life.
Yeah.
Oh, you're a blessing, and I pray for you every night, and I thank God for you every day.
Well, we appreciate that, and we need that. And so thanks for doing so. It's through the prayers and support of people just like you that make this ministry possible. So thank you for being a part of the team. I don't know if you've gotten a hold of Richard's booklet, but if not, we would love to send it to you. Okay, Ronnie?
Okay, great. Thanks so much.
You're welcome. You hold the line.
And we will reiterate in just a moment how everyone can get a copy of that, as we were talking about just a few moments ago. But a question by email, guys, from Ron, who lives in Moline, Illinois, says, I know you guys believe that election involves people groups, but was wondering about Acts 13:48 that says, as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. To me, that implies personal election. Can you explain this?
Well, how are you ordained to life? I mean, that's the big question. And God predestined that those who come to faith in Jesus receive eternal life. I mean, that was ordained from the beginning of time. So it's this receiving of the Lord. You know, I think there's kind of two storylines here. We know that salvation is all of God, that it is achieved totally in Christ Jesus, that we have no part in that. We know that we have to be drawn to the Father. We know all of those things because Scripture reveals it to us. But from the human side of it, there's this offer and there's an acceptance. There's the initiating of grace into our lives by God's Spirit, and there's the receiving of that grace by faith. So from a human standpoint, that's how we convey the message. That's how we tell the story. You know, tell the story of going to a church camp and hearing the good news of Jesus and seeing a very vivid portrayal of Christ's death on the cross and how it tugged at my heart. And I felt like if somebody was lifting me up out of my chair and moving me down the aisle to go forward and receive Jesus. And so I tell the story. I went forward and I received Jesus. I asked Jesus into my heart. And people say, yeah, I can understand that. And when I hear the gospel, I want to go down and receive, or I want to pray, or whatever it might be. So there's this offer, there's this acceptance, and that's what's ordained by God, that all who receive Him will be saved.
Yeah. Well, Ron, thank you for your question. And for any of our listeners, Bob and Richard, who'd like to pose an email question, you'll find a prominent link right on our homepage at basicgospel.net. Hope you'll take advantage of it. We'd love to address your question on a later edition of the broadcast. Also, I want to say thanks today for tuning in to Basic Gospel. We close by reminding you that it's your support that keeps this ministry on the air. To thank you for supporting Basic Gospel with a gift of any amount, you're going to receive a copy of our booklet, Our Guaranteed Future. Or for your generous donation of $50 or more, you'll get the booklet and the 8-message CD series by Richard Pfeiffer called Revelation, It's No Mystery. It's a great offer and a great way to help keep Basic Gospel on the air and at the same time get real clarity on the book of Revelation. The booklet, Our Guaranteed Future for a Gift of Any Amount, that booklet and the CD series, Revelation, It's No Mystery, for a donation of $50 or more. To make the donation of your choice, call 1-800-727-2828. That's 1-800-727-2828 during Central Time office hours and speak with our operator. Or visit us online at basicgospel.net. Again, basicgospel.net. While you're online at basicgospel.net, be sure to click subscribe in the upper menu to join our email list and get the day-by-day preview of each day's look at Revelation. So click subscribe at basicgospel.net and you'll be instantly added to the email list. Also, we encourage you when you're online to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at basicgospelRDO. Well, now for Bob Christopher, Richard Pfeiffer, and the ministry staff, this is Bob Davis inviting you to join us again tomorrow at the very same time for another live edition of Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.